ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 34। त्यक्त्वा सुतुज्य सुरेप्सित राज्य लक्ष्मीं धर्मिष्ट आर्य वचसा यद अगादरण्यम् माया मृगं दयितयेप्सितमन्वधाव वंदे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम्। त्यक्त्वा सुदुस्त्यज सुरेप्सित राज्यलक्ष्मीं धर्मिष्ट आर्य वचसा यदगादरण्यम् माया मृगं दयितयेप्सितमन्वधाव वंदे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम्। त्यक्त्वा सुदुस्त्यज सुरेप्सित राज्यलक्ष्मीं धर्मिष्ट आर्य वचसा यदगादरण्यम् माया मृगं दयितयेप्सितमन्वधाव वंदे महापुरुषतचरणारविन्दम्। त्यक्त्वा सुदुस्त्यज सुरेप्सित राज्यलक्ष्मीं धर्मिष्ट आर्य वचसा यदगादरण्यम् माया मृगं दयितयेप्सितमन्वधाव वंदे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम्। त्यक्त्वा सुदुस्त्यज सुरेप्सित राज्यलक्ष्मीं धर्मिष्ठ आर्य वचसा यदगादरण्यम् माया मृगं दयितयेप्सितमन्वधाव वंदे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम्। त्यक्त्वा सुदुस्त्यज सुरेप्सित राज्यलक्ष्मीं धर्मिष्ठार्य वचसा यदगादरण्यम् माया मृगं दयितयेप्सितन्वधाव वंदे महापुरुषते चरणारविन्दम्। त्यक्त्वा अबैंडनिंग सुदुस्त्यज मोस्ट डिफिकल्ट टू गिव अप सुर इप्सित anxiously desired by the demigods. Rajya Lakshmi, the goddesses of fortune and her opulence. Dharmistha, most perfectly fixed in religiousness. Aryavachasa, according to the words of a Brahmana, who had cursed him to be deprived of all happiness of family life. Yet, he who, Agath, went Aranyam to the forest, taking to the renounced order of life. Mayamrigam, the conditioned soul, who is always searching out illusory enjoyment. Daitaya, out of sheer mercy. Ipsitam, his desired object. Anvadhavat, running after. Vande, I offer my homage. Mahapurusha, O Lord Mahaprabhu, te, to your charanarvindam, lotus feet. Translation: O Mahapurusha, I worship your lotus feet. You gave up the association of goddesses of fortune and all her opulence, which is the most difficult to renounce and is hankered after by even the great demigods. Being the most faithful follower of the path of religion, you thus left for the forest in the obedience to a Brahmana's curse. Out of sheer mercifulness, you chased after the fallen conditioned souls who are always in the pursuit of the false enjoyment of the illusion and at the same time engaged in searching out your own desired object, Lord Shyamasundara. Purport. We will see the last portion of the purport, ending with this commentary on this verse. All the limbs of the Lord's transcendental body are non-different and interchangeable, as stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.32. Angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya sadujvala vigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. All of the limbs, angani, of the Supreme Lord are sakalendriya vrittimanti, or possessing all the functions of all the other limbs. Thus the two lotus feet of the personality of Godhead are a plenary representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and worshipping the Lord's lotus feet immediately places the worshipper in the ocean of transcendental bliss. There is no factual difference in spiritual quality between the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Ramachandra. As stated in the Vedic literatures, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. Therefore, there is no contradiction in the opinions of the acharyas that this verse wonderfully glorifies three different manifestations of one absolute truth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is undoubtedly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His transcendental attributes fulfill in every sense of the term the descriptions of the absolute truth as given in the Vedic literature. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the third chapter of the Adi Leela, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada have given elaborate explanations of the transcendental status of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which the reader can refer to for further information. Everyone should follow the example of the sage Karbhajana and worship the lotus feet of the Mahaprabhu, the Mahapurusha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One should not rot on the platform of mental speculation and whimsical interpretation, but should actually revive his lost relationship with the absolute truth by surrendering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who are worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are deriving wonderful results and are tasting the fruits of love of Krishna. Therefore, Vande Mahapurushate Charanarvindam, Let us humbly bow down at the lotus feet of the original personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Mahapurusha glorified within Srimad Bhagavatam. Corroborating the explanation of this verse, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also worship him in his six-armed form of Shadbhuja. Two arms carry the water pot and the danda of the sannyasi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Two arms carry the flute of Lord Krishna. And two arms carry the bow and arrow of Sri Ramachandra. This Shadbhuj form is the actual purport of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamishcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamishya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So we seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I could speak on this very esteemed topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we are reading from the chapter number 5 of Canto 11, verse 34. The chapter is entitled Narada's Teaching to the Vasudev. The conclusion of Narada's teaching to the Vasudev. That shows that this chapter is ending with the Vasudev's instructions or teachings to the Narad Muni. It started in the second chapter, wherein Narad Muni, who had been staying for quite some time in Dwarka, in spite of having the curse that he cannot stay at one place, but being spiritual dham of the Supreme Lord, curse does not work, and he was happily staying there, worshipping the Supreme Lord. And he once visited to the house of Vasudev, the father of Vasudev, Krishna. And there, when he visited, he was worshipped, he was given a seat, and then immediately Vasudev told him some certain things. He said that your visiting is like that of a father to his children, is for the benefit of all living beings, for the most wretched among them as well as those who are worshipping the Lord. So generally the father takes care of the children who are not well-to-do, also of the children who are very well-to-do, and those who are in the midi-core. So similarly, here Vasudev is telling that your visit is beneficial to the all living entity, is also benefit for the most wretched amongst them, and as well to those who are worshipping the Lord. Now where does he fall into? He is a pure soul. In fact, he has the Siddha body. He is a Nitya Siddha devotee of a Lord. And Vasudev, and here, he's been instructed by Narad Muni. So though he is liberated, still he is always inquiring about the Supreme Lord. So that's the nature of the liberated people. Even after being on the liberated platform, the hearing about the Lord does not stop. So here he is asking the question. And then he is telling that the devatas, sometimes when they come, they sometimes give happiness and sometimes give miseries. Like too much of rain, water. So it's not always giving happiness. But the great souls, when they visit, they always give happiness. And then, he says that the devatas, they are like the follower of the shadow. Like our, we go and our shadow follows. So similarly, they give the result as per our karma. That's it. They do not see whether the result will be good or bad for him. Does that mean the Supreme Lord does not give the result, or his devotees, they grant benediction, does not give the result? Supreme Lord also gives benediction. In fact, Supreme Lord says that whatever you desire, Brahman, material happiness, whatever you visit, you worship him. Why? Because he not only fulfills those desires, but when he fulfills those desires, he fulfills in such a way that one will not again ask for such material desires. In fact, he will get liberated after that. And he will get a Krishna prayer. So here he compares the devatas with the great devotee. In fact, there is no comparison. But still he is telling that how grateful, how great are the Vaishnavas. And then he says that, though I am satisfied by your visit, just by seeing Narad Muni, Vasudev is very satisfied. But still he is telling that I still wish to inquire you about the duties which gives pleasure to the Supreme Lord. So what he is inquiring about? He is inquiring, Brahmanas tathapi pruchami dharman bhagavatam stava. I am inquiring you about the Bhagavad Dharma. What is Bhagavad Dharma? The duties that are pleasing to the Supreme Lord. A very simple definition. Duties that are pleasing to the Supreme Lord. About that Bhagavad Dharma, Pruchami, I am asking you. What is the result of that? Yat shrutva shraddhaya martayo myuchyante sarva bhayat. Hearing which, the martya, the people in this material world, muchyante sarvato bhayat. He becomes delivered of all the miseries of this world. So now he is going to talk about the topics, hearing which one will become liberated. And this verse today that we are discussing about, the 34th, is the discussion of the most confidential topic. It's not a confidential, but most confidential. In the Gita, the 9th chapter, which comes exactly in the middle, Krishna has put it in the middle. Why? Because he's talking about the most confidential knowledge in the middle of the Gita. That's why it is like the most confidential knowledge. And he starts by saying that, Idam tu te ghuyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave. Jnana vijnana saitam yad gyatva moksha se shubhat. Similar to this word. Yad gyatva. The result will be knowing which you will get free from all the kilbisha about the samsara. And what he is going to talk? Pravakshyami. I am going to speak to you. Most confidential knowledge. Ghuyatama. So that means that there is some knowledge which is confidential, there is some knowledge which is more confidential, and some knowledge which is most confidential. First, what is the knowledge about? If somebody says, if there is more confidential, let's talk about the knowledge. So the knowledge of this world is the simple knowledge, samanya gyan. Any knowledge. In fact, it is said that all the knowledge is given in the scriptures. Take any knowledge, it is given in the scriptures. But does that mean that the knowledge about how to steal, how to tell lie is also given in the scriptures? Yes. All the knowledge is given in the scriptures. Otherwise, nothing can come apart from the Vedas. Vedas means knowledge to know. But then somebody may say, then how about this such knowledge? No, that kind of knowledge is the interpretation. What is being spoken is clearly given, but when it is interpreted in a wrong way, in the shadow form. So that is the shadow knowledge. It's not the real knowledge. But when it is interpreted by the free will of this mind of the people, then that's the knowledge which is taken out from in a wrong way. Otherwise, all knowledge is there in the scriptures. That's what Prabhupada mentions in one of the places where the Vedas means knowledge. All the knowledge. So, Samanya Gyan and then confidential knowledge. The confidential knowledge means the knowledge about the body and the soul. Simple. But just having the knowledge of the body and the soul, what will a people do? That's not the complete knowledge. Person may understand he is the spirit soul, but he may not know who is that spirit soul. He may lead to the wrong conclusion that he may say that, okay, I am the spirit soul, and that spiritual soul will one day merge into the combination of the entire all spirit soul, who are ultimately one. He may lead to that conclusion. So just knowing that I am this soul, not the body, is not complete knowledge. But it's a confidential knowledge in itself. So leading one step further, understanding that I am not only the spirit soul, but a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is the more confidential knowledge. Now, what is the most confidential knowledge? That knowledge which leads one to the ananya bhakti, the pure devotional service, that is the most confidential knowledge. So here, he is going to talk about that confidential knowledge which will lead muchyante sarvato bhayat. One will get freed from all the bhaya of the samsara. And then Vasudev, he said that I have wasted my time. Why? Because I prayed for Lord Krishna as a son. I begged for the Lord as my son. I should have asked for the liberation. Now he had a fear because he has heard that a curse has come to the Yadu dynasty, that they are going to get destroyed. So because of that, he had a fear that now Krishna will go, and I just enjoyed his company. But I did not work upon to get liberated. Of course, he's telling like that, but he's actually a liberated soul. But still he's telling that I have not taken enough advantage of Krishna. So now you please tell me, you please guide me, please instruct me, so that by your mercy I become free of myself from material existence, which is full of all dangers. And then praying in this way, the devotees, when asked about Krishna, naturally become happy, because they get the opportunity to speak about him. And Vasudev and Narad Muni here, he thanks him and he says that you have correctly asked me about the eternal duty, and he's telling that when somebody hears about this, what he's going to speak now, he becomes completely pure. And then he says that, then he talks about the history, he takes out the history. He says that I'm going to tell you about this answer which has already been asked in one place in the history. So now he is going to teach history. But what kind of history is this? This is the history which is the real factual ancient topics of about the Lord. So if somebody wants to teach the subject history, Prabhupada is telling this is what the topic should be. Ancient subject matters leading in connection with the Supreme Lord. What is the benefit of this history? One gets liberated, purified, as Narad Muni is telling here. That by you are asking this question, whoever chants and discusses this topic will get purified. So the history should be such. And he's telling that in this ancient history, which was spoken by the sons of Rishabhdevs, he's talking about now Yogendras, who are the sons of Rishabhdev, who are coming from Sarvabhauma or Swayambhuva Manu, who is the first Manu, and his son is Priyavrat. His son is Agnidra, his son is Nabhi, and Nabhi's son was Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev had 100 sons. The foremost was the very famous Bharat Maharaj, from whom this earth is given the name as Bharat, Bharat Varsha. And then remaining other sons, 9 were the Kshatriyas who were the ruling this 9 Varshas of this Bharat Varsha, which has 9 Varshas. 81 were Brahmanas, and then 9 were the Nav Yogendras. So these 9 Nav Yogendras, the conversion between the 9 Nav Yogendras and the king of Videha, Maharaj Nimi, they had a conversion. So it so happened the Maharaj Nimi, who is a pious soul, a devotee of a Lord, he was doing some sacrifices in his kingdom along with all the ministers and everyone assembled there. And there, by their causeless mercy, this now Yogendras, who traversed through all the planetary system, they were free. They would travel naked, without being checked in any of the planets. They would just travel. They would just appear on their own. So they appeared immediately at the Nimi's sacrifice, sacrificial ceremony. And when they were appeared, they were like brilliantly shining, rivaling the presence or the sun also and the, all those who were present. In fact, it is mentioned that everyone stood in respect. The members who were performing the yajna, there are many brahmanas who perform the yajnas, arranged for the ceremonies. In fact, it is mentioned even the sacrificial fire stood up in respect to these Navayogendras. So that powerful were these Navayogendras, who were self-realized, seeing in everything Supreme Lord. Paramatma realized, seeing everything, in everything they are seeing the Supreme Lord. And in Supreme Lord they are seeing everything. So these Navayogendras appeared, and without wasting the time, without asking how are you, because there is no need to ask the spiritually, in fact those who are personification of all auspiciousness, no Yogendras. Their appearance itself is all auspicious. They are the personification of all auspiciousness. There is no need to ask them, how are you? He did not waste time. He immediately jumped to the subject matter, saying that it's very durlabha to get Manush Dharma. Why? Because in this Manush Dharma one can get liberated. But higher than that is to get the association of the devotees of the Lord. Because for a moment's association, one will achieve everything. How can a moment of association of a devotee is more important? One gets the bhakti. Bhakti lata bich. So that's why the association of moment of a devotee of a Lord is very important. Now somebody may say it may be pure devotee, no? Moment means pure devotee, but no. Acharya has mentioned not necessarily pure devotee. Even sadhakas, the moment of their association is enough. Why? Because when we associate with them, they will talk about Krishna. They will give that bhakti lata beach, which is very rare. That's why moment of their association is greatest wealth. So he immediately jumps to the subject matter, saying that atyantika shemam pruchami bhagavato anadha. I am asking you about the atyantika shema. What is the most beneficial topic? Kindly tell about that. And immediately, the now Yogendra starting with Kavi, Havi, and then all, ending with the ninth now Yogendra, who is Karbhajana. So second chapter started and concluded in this chapter, chapter 5, which is that Narada concludes his teaching to Vasudev. So various questions were asked by the Muni, by this Nimi Maharaj, in different chapters, second chapter, 2, now Yogendras, they talk, they answer when the questions were asked. Then in third chapter, the four now Yogendras answer to the questions asked by Maharaj Nimi. Then in the fourth chapter, 2 now Yogendras again answer. And then in this ninth chapter, in this fifth chapter, 2 now Yogendras they mention, they answer. And in this way, the 9 now Yogendras, they are answering to the various questions asked by the Maharaj Nimi. So this Karbhajan Muni is answering in this 34th verse. What is the verse, what is the question that has been asked to him? So in the 19th verse of this 5th chapter, Maharaj Nimi asked him about the various kasmin kale sa bhagavan kim varna kim drisho nirbhe. Kasmin kale, at what times, what all times, sa bhagwan, that supreme lord, kim varna, what, in what color does he appear? Kim drusha, in what form does he appear? Namna, what are his names? Kena vidhanena pujyeta, by what, in what ways he is worshipped? So these four questions he is asking. In what form he appears, what is the color of that form, what are the names in which he is described, and then by what vidhi vidhan he is being worshipped. And he answers, Karbhajan Muni answers, in the Satyuga, the people were most peaceful. Damena, Shamena, they were internally and externally well controlled, peaceful, equipoised, and were helpful to all the living entities. So these were the qualities mentioned about the Satyuga people. When it came to Treta Yuga, only one word is mentioned, Dharmista. Prabhupada says that in Satyuga the people were automatically perfected. Automatically they were perfected in self-realization. Therefore there was only one Varna there, Hamsa Varna. No Brahman, Kshatriya, nothing. Only one Varna, Hamsa. Because they were all qualified. But in Treta Yuga, they are mentioned as Dharmista. Dharmista means they were inclined to perform the dharma. They were inclined. And they would strictly follow all the regulative principles, religious principles, the culture and everything. Because they were inclined. But when it came to Dwapar Yuga, it is Jignyasavaha. The word Jignyasavaha is mentioned. Jignyasava means they were inquisitive about the spiritual life. About Kali Yuga, nothing like that is mentioned. It's very difficult to find the people inquisitive about the Supreme Lord. Why? Because everyone is like into hypocrisy, quarrel, cheating, hiding. So Lord also plays that game of hide and seek in Kali Yuga. Cheating. He also cheats. But in a transcendental way. He conceals his identity. He also conceals his identity in Kali Yuga. But why does he conceal his identity? Because if he says his identity, he mentions, suppose if he mentions his name in Kali Yuga directly, that Chaitanya is his name, then there will be many Chaitanya. Many Chaitanya will come. And the devotees will be confused. Yeah, Shastra says Chaitanya, but who is? He is also Chaitanya, he is also Chaitanya. Which Chaitanya to follow? So to avoid that demoniac mentality of the Kali Yuga people to imitate. I remember in my college days, my room partner, he would chant some mantra. Some mantra, you know, Dada, Bhagwan, Asim, Jai Jai Kar, some mantra. I would ask him, what is this? He said, I am going to reveal it to you. Do not tell to anyone. I said, wow. What is that? He said, I am chanting the mantra of the Supreme Lord who has appeared in Kali Yuga. I said, very interesting. I also heard this from one of my relative. Old Nani, she was telling, I am going to tell you the most confidential thing. Do not tell to anyone. Nobody knows this. He said, in Gujarat, there is a place where there is this Swami, who is the Supreme Lord. So I immediately remembered that thing. So I was accustomed to hearing this. I said, okay, tell me. Because he was a very close friend, I think room partner for 4 years. So he said that I'm telling. No, but don't tell to anyone. So I said, okay, tell me. And then he started telling. This is, and if you worship him, these are the benefits. So I've heard similar things. So I just heard him. And then when I came to ISKCON, the first thing which I heard is like, there are so many imitation. I immediately related, yes. So then in ISKCON I heard, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the actual avatar. I said, wow. But he is very, that is confidential. I said, my God, this is also the one. Here is the one, same thing. And I was thinking, why everyone says like this? Who is right, who is wrong? But in ISKCON, they said that you read Gita and Bhagavat. You read Gita and Bhagavat, you will come to know. So it is not like they are just telling. They are telling that Gita and Bhagavat says this. So for anything that a person, devotee would say, they would say that this verse. So that was the beauty of ISKCON devotees, that whatever they would say, they would relate it with some shloka. So that was the beauty. When I read Gita, immediately whatever devotee said, this is the verse. And that's the perfection. It's not like in the hawa mein baat karte. In the, no. There is a verse for everything. So no devotee can leave ISKCON for the dearth of the philosophy. CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of such topics. There are the topics by various acharyas, many books, which are now being translated. So there is no dearth of philosophy. Perfect philosophy. So here, in this So Karbhajan Muni, he's telling that in four yugas, these are the name, but in the Kali Yuga, the names are not mentioned. That's why in 31st verse, it is said that, Iti Dvaparye Ura Isha Stuvanti Jagad Ishwaram. Now that I have spoken to you about Dvapar Yuga and what are the names Lord appears. Now, Nana Tatra Vidhanena Kalo Abhi Tathashrunu. Now I am going to tell you about Kalo. Kalo Api. Now he is telling Kalo Api, not Kali Yuga. Kalo. Kalo Api means in this Kali Yuga. This 28th Yuga cycle of the Vaivasvat Manu. So he is going to tell about this Kali Yuga in which who is going to appear. He is talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that sense. Nana Tantra Vidhanena. Now I am going to tell you about Nana Tantra Vidhanena. So Nana Tantra Vidhanena, he says, Tantra Vidhan here means by secret method or using esoteric meanings. So by secret method. So Tantra Vidhanena. So one can say that Tantra Shastra like Narada Pancharatra. So one can know from that also, which Prabhupada translates. And also Tantra Vidhanam can mean by secret method. Means whatever verses are now going to follow, there is another alternative meaning also given. Secret meaning is also given. So you can look it from two ways. And then he talks about the verse 33, very famous. 32 verse. Saying that Krishna Varnam Tvisha Akrishnam. So two meanings again. Internally Krishna, externally golden color. So one can take as he wants. Or one can take normal Krishna Varnam. The color is black. So in Kali Yuga, Krishna always comes in a black form. Means what? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not black in color. How can you say that? Krishna Varnam. Krishna Varnam means he is Varnita as a Krishna. Krishna Chaitanya. See Krishna Chaitanya. After his diksha, after his sannyas name, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So he is known as Krishna. So it's not something wrong here. Every word of this verse is talking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tvisha, the brilliance form, golden shining form. So that is again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then next verse, 33 verse, wherein he says, Dheyam Sada, always meditate upon that Supreme Lord. And he says that, Vande Mahapurushete Charanarvindam. And then in the verse 33 and 34, he is glorifying that Supreme Lord. Karbhajan Muni, after talking about each and every incarnation in particular yuga, he glorifies by particular verses. So in verse 33 and 34, there is a glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these two verses are very special. This verse 34 is very special. Why? It's a direct glorification of the Lord of this Kali Yuga. That's why both the verse has similar ending. Vande Mahapurusha Te Charanarvindam. I offer my obeisances to you, O Mahaprabhu. Karbhajan Muni is telling, O Mahaprabhu, I offer my obeisances unto you. That's why Prabhupada is telling that everyone should follow the example of the sage Karbhajan and worship the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. He's talking in this word. Everyone should follow. Because he talks about in all the various yuga. In fact, in every scripture you will find this. Here Prabhupada mentions that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the third chapter of the Adi Leela, Krishnadas, Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada has given elaborate explanation of the transcendental status of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This elaborate description about the where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been mentioned directly. Which Purana, which Shruti, which Smriti Shastra. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is given. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he mentions that. And then in this verse it is said that the limbs of the Supreme Lord, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vittim, all the limbs, the Lord can perform any activity from any of his senses. So Lord's chanting of the holy names is similar to the Charanarvindam, his two lotus feet. Or the Lord's transcendental form is equivalent to his lotus feet. Sometimes devotees, I would hear that during book distribution, you just make them touch the book and they will be purified. It's like they are touching the Supreme Lord. So I would never understand how can touching Gita will help them. This is just a book. How can touching the Gita will help them? But later on, one day, I heard Baldev Prabhu telling that from the Lord comes the water Ganges. From His lotus feet, water Ganges is coming. So because it's coming from the Supreme Lord, it's a transcendental water. Anyone who comes in contact with the water Ganges is purified. And we all accept that. In our culture, it is imbibed. That yes, water Ganga means purifies. So that we accept. But just touching Gita, one can be purified, that we don't accept easily. Then we need logical thinking that, okay, yes, because it's coming from the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental, his paraphernalia is transcendental, water Ganges is purifying. So similarly, there is no difference between his holy name and himself, and his holy book also. So in that way, touching this book is purifying. So just by touching the book, it is purifying. Of course, one need that that confidence and that faith also. Otherwise, many people are seeing the Krishna, many people are seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But what benefit they get? It's not that everyone who has seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna, they will go back to Godhead. No. Here it is mentioned that there is no factual difference in the spiritual quantity between the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna and Lord Ramchandra. Prabhupada mentions this is the Shadbhuj verse. Why? Because all the three forms are mentioned. Some acharya says that this verse relates to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some say this verse relates to Ramachandra, some say it relates to Krishna. They all are correct. The acharyas are never contradicting. Many times in the scripture we find different verses, acharyas mention different things, one may not understand who is right and who is wrong. Sometimes they mention opposite thing and we feel that okay, they are contradicting. No, it's only thing that we do not understand what they are telling. Like the disciples of certain guru, they may fight amongst each other, saying that my guru says like this, your guru is saying something else. But actually they both are in sync. And the disciple keep fighting. So here Prabhupada is telling that the Vaishnavas, they corroborate the explanation of this verse and they say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gaurachandra, as a Sadbhuj incarnation. They worship them. They desire to worship them. One time Prabhupada disciple Yashodhananda Maharaj, he desired to worship Sadbhuj from, and he wrote a letter to Prabhupada saying that, Prabhupada, I am teaching in Karnataka, Hubli, this many devotees came, this one person who joined, and he is expert in all the four languages, we are giving him responsibility. So he is mentioning everything, and then he writes, I am also interested in the Sadbhuj form, worshipping. My interest is in that. So can I make a deity of the Sadbhuj and worship? Prabhupada answered him by saying that, okay, he talked about other matters which was spoken. I'm very happy that you are preaching, so much people are coming, you are opening the temple in the Hyderabad, and this person has joined you. Be careful whoever joins you, he says. So initially you should have a check, and later on you can give him full responsibility. And then he says, as far as yours, the exact words he says about this worshipping Sadbhuj from, he says, as far as Sadbhuj deity goes, Prabhupada told him, if you divert your attention for worship, that will not be good. Time is short. You can keep one picture for your darshan. It's very simple. The Sadbhuj form had been shown to the Nityananda Prabhu by Lord Chaitanya. In one of the ceremony when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just got initiated by the Ishwarapuri in Gaya, and then when he came back, he was showing all the ecstatic symptoms. And then when in Shivas Thakur's home, when the Abhishek was going on of the Lord Chaitanya, wherein he revealed various forms to the various devotees, Mahaprakash Leela. At the end of that, when Nityananda Prabhu came to see Lord Chaitanya, he showed his Sadbhuj form to him. What was that Sadbhuj from? Two hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which were carrying the Kamandalu and Danda. Two forms of Lord Ramchandra carrying the bow and the arrow. And the two hands of Krishna carrying the flute and the stick of a cowherd boy. So that form, that beautiful form was shown. Then he showed him another Sadbhuj form carrying Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma and other two instruments. Then he showed him a four-handed form. standing in a Tribhanga Lalita form and having Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. Then he showed him two-handed form of Shyam Sundar. So various form Lord shows to his devotees. And this has been like, if you connect to this verse, it clearly shows that it's referring to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that fact is corroborated through this verse. The devotees, they link that verse here and they worship the Lord as the Shadbhuj Ram. So that's why this Shadbhuj Ram is actually the purport of this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. All the scriptures, if somebody really dwells deep in the scriptures, they will find that Lord is worshipped. Only Lord Krishna and his other forms are worshipped in different yugas. Few days back I was there in one of the assembly of Sikh people. Sikh. So, in that day they asked me to give some talk and I just went through their scripture. Guru Granth Sahib. And there I was surprised to see that how they talk about Krishna, Govinda, Ram. And when I went there, the Ram Kirtan was going on. Then I started saying that, okay, so in your scriptures, so in this religion there are many great saints, starting from Guru Nanak, leading to the Guru Govind Singh Ji, 10th saints which are mentioned, whom they follow. And then the 11th saint, the living saint they call. Because Guru Govind Sahib, the 10th saint, said that later on, henceforth, there should not be any guru. Why? Because it's very difficult to maintain that acharyaship. So he wrote, he gave the scripture and said that he is the living guru now. So we see in Kali Yuga, Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. He said that this is what the living guru is. Guru Granth Sahib, you follow that. And what is written in the Guru Granth Sahib? Clearly, very clearly it is mentioned. Worship Govinda, worship Lord Ram. Now somebody may say, okay, somewhere in one line it is mentioned. No, he said that worship Supreme Lord Govinda Ram, from whose navel comes the Brahmaji, who is creating everything. Clearly mentioned. So much detail. Clearly mentioned. Then I told them about, so this, what name that you chant? Satnam Vahe Guru. So what is the Satnam Vahe Guru? So this Vahe Guru. So Va stands for Vishnu. So now Guru Nanak is mentioning, in this Satyu, in Satyuga, Vishnu is worship. In Dwapar Yuga, Hari is worship. That is nothing but Krishna. Hari is mentioned. In Treta Yuga, Lord Ram is mentioned, worship, Ru. So, Vahe, Guru. And Gu is nothing but Govinda. So, in this way, all the four yugas, Lord Krishna is worshipped. Clearly mentioned. So, here Karbhajan Muni, who is telling, after being asked by Nimi Maharaj, what all different forms, varnas are mentioned, this verse, these two verses glorifies clearly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one can take it as a glorification of Lord Ramchandra. One can take it worship of glorification of Krishna. Prabhupada mentions they are all transcendentally equal. Spiritual, there is no factual difference between the three. But in Laghu Bhagatamith we see that there is a difference. So in absolute platform they are all one. But still, as a Swarupa, as an identity they are one. But in the qualities they are different. The qualities that they manifest, that is different. We all know that Lord Krishna manifests all the 64 qualities. Therefore, this Jaya and Vijaya, when they came to this world, they were not fallen. Somebody says that they are fallen. Actually, Lord sent them. Fallen means forced to go. But sent by the Lord is different. Therefore, Lord said that after he came, he said, I am sending you, it's my desire. No, why Lord desire at his cost? He wants to fight, so he's sending Jai Vijay. It's not proper. He's sending Jai Vijay to fight with him. And it's not in every Kali Yuga this Jai Vijay comes. Or every Yuga this Jai Vijay comes. No, then it would be inappropriate that a Lord sends his devotee whenever he wants to fight. So Acharya mentioned, it's not every yuga that Jai Vijay is going to come. In every kalpa he is going to come. No. In fact, Jai Vijay, when they were hearing from the bards, who were glorifying in the court of the Lord Vishnu, Narayan, about the how Lord Narayan enjoys the fighting spirit, in the fighting spirit, how he enjoys, they desire to serve the Lord in that capacity. So Lord, understanding their desire, Lord created the situation so that they will go down and serve the Lord by fighting with them and experience that. So it was their desire that Lord sent them, not that they are fallen. But then he's teaching another thing. So when Hiranyakashipu, three forms. So Hiranyakashipu came, Ravana came and Shishupal came. Just one example. So when Hiranyakashipu came, Narsingdev, they both had confronted and Narsingdev killed him. What did he achieve? He did not achieve spiritual world immediately. Why? Because Narsingdev killed them. So here is the difference. Narsingdev killed, and what was the result? Not spiritual world. It's only by Krishna's killing one can guarantee spiritual world to the demons. Generally, Acharyas mentioned. But when Lord, so, but because he was killed by Narsingdev, what he got? He got the opulence which was unrivaled by the demigods also. So in next time he became Ravana. More powerful than demigods. More opulence than demigods. Just because he was killed by the Lord Narsingdev. And again he got killed. But he did not achieve liberation. He became Shishupal. Again powerful personality. But then when he was killed, when Shishupal was killed by the hands of Lord Krishna, he was given the spiritual. He was sent back. Why? Because when he was killed by Narsingdev, he was thinking of Narsingdev to be an ordinary living entity. He thought him, he's like an ordinary person. When he was killed as a Ravana, he was thinking, here is Chaitanya, here is Lord Ram, he is the king. He is just the king, powerful person. But he did not consider him to be the Supreme Lord. But when Shishupal came in touch with the Krishna, he knew, because he has heard that he is Lord Vishnu. He has killed you in previous ages. So he knew that he is Vishnu, he is the Supreme Lord. And he would repeat his name as Vasudev, son of Vasudev, and many other names of Krishna. So he was absorbed in chanting the names of Krishna. And he was mesmerized by the beauty of Krishna. So these two things are needed. One is chanting of the Supreme Lord's name, which is so powerful. And second, the form itself is so attractive. So Krishna's form is so attractive that demons, they get so absorbed in his form. And by the chanting of his name, even though he has chanted his name in a very very wrong way, in envy he was chanting his name, but still he got liberated. Now liberated is not Brahman realization. Because generally demons get Brahman realization. But Gopi Pranadhan Prabhu in this Bhagu Bhagatramid, he says that Shishupal went back to serve Lord Narayan. So that is the difference between Krishna, Narsingdev and Lord Ram. What about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful. Mahavadanyaya. He not only gives liberation to the demons, but he does not even kill them. Krishna killed and then gave liberation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Jagai and Madai, without killing them, he purified them and gave the Prema Bhakti. So that is the difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna and Ramchandra, as mentioned in this verse as the Shadbhuj Prabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.